I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The WAOK presents a special edition of the Sister Soul Talk series, celebrating African-American women trailblazers and their accomplishments.
Welcome back to News and Talk 1380. They'll be okay. Let's go to Charles in Bankhead. Charles, what's happening? Charles? Yo, Charles, what's up? Okay. You did hit the button over there? Okay. All right. Bye, Charles. How that going to work? Call us back. We have this Sister Soul Talk series. Every day for me is Sister Soul Talk. Anytime you get to talk to the mother of civilization, we don't have a black, you know, we follow along with the crowd now on these holidays. Like, you know, I'm black, so I don't need no Black History Month just to talk and love black people. It's good to have emphasis on us, because now some of y'all who won't be white, I mean, it helps you out. I mean, it gives you opportunity to remember that you really, you know, after eating couscous, and eating filet mignon and all of that, it really helps you remember your bologna days. You know, some of us need to remember our bologna day. But I ain't never forgot them. And so, you know, people like, you got to go back to the black community and help them. Hell, I didn't need never leave. So I ain't never, that ain't an issue for me. And we have my first guest on the Sister Soul Talk series. She's been with us before. She donated to our tar drive. We were down at Walmart about 3-4 years ago. She brought tars and everything. And then she started talking about all them dirty books she got out and everything and everything. We just had a great we always have a great conversation. Sis, bring that microphone straight to your mouth. We got Zane here with us. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
You look well.
Thank you. So do you.
I'm headed to the gala.
Yeah,
what you
sure.
Headed to after you leave here?
I might be going with you.
Look, I know that's right. Zane, the author.
Yes.
We don't want to start there. We're going to depart from that.
Okay.
Let's walk back and talk about Zane, the little girl growing up. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Washington, D.C.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the nation's capital.
Nation's capital.
And talk about growing up, your childhood days. What was that like?
Well, it was great because my father he's a retired PhD professor of theology. So he taught at Howard Divinity School.
Lord, I should have known. I don't know why I didn't count. This girl is a preacher's kid.
Yes, I am. And he taught he taught at Duke Divinity School and different places.
Oh, your dad had to be smart as to be smart as all get out.
Yes, he is. He's wonderful. So, and my mother's a retired elementary school teacher. So needless to say, education was stressed very much in my house. In fact, all of us were in competition with one another. I was the youngest, and everybody tried to outdo each other.
Youngest of how many? How many brothers and sisters
four.
You have?
Four.
Youngest of four?
Four. Mm-hmm.
And so you grew up in a house where education was absolutely valued.
Yeah, and everybody, like my sister that's 2.5 years older than me, the next to the youngest, she skipped 2 grades in elementary school, and she started flying a plane before she knew how to drive a car. So when I came along, I was like, okay, what am I going to do? So I actually was the first jointly enrolled high school student at Spelman ever.
Mm.
You know, that goes way back. I was the guinea pig, so to speak. I was going to Mays High School down here, because my father at the time was the president of the Interdenominational Theological Center.
And tell everybody who your father is.
Dr. James Deotis Roberts.
All right.
And so I went to Mays High School here in Atlanta, and I decided I wanted to go to college early. So I went to summer school, and I took 6 courses, got straight A's. Then I went back and convinced them to let me be the first jointly enrolled high school student at Spelman. So I went to high school in the morning, went to Spelman in the afternoon, and lived on campus. And the following year, I think they had let like 24 girls do it.
Mm.
Yeah, so.
Wow. Mays High School.
Yep, Mays High School.
And tell us, so of course we learned you're Spelmanite.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And did you go to graduate school beyond that?
No. But I would like to say this. It was great growing up because Daddy King and Dr. Mays were still alive. And
right.
So they would be in my father's office a lot. And so I got to, you know, meet them and get to know them and be around Andrew Young and Julian Bond and all that stuff when I was younger. So that was really, really a great experience.
Deep Atlanta roots.
Yeah.
And then Zane is born.
Yes.
How is Zane different from that young girl that is the preacher's kid?
I don't know how Zane came about. And it's so funny because very few people know this. At the time that I became Zane, I was actually, my father taught at Duke Divinity School, and I was his research assistant.
Lord, I do not believe this story. I'm not believing this.
The computer that I started writing these short stories
had all of them sermons on it.
Was actually a Duke. It was a computer that Duke Divinity School had given me to do the research for my dad. So.
Wow.
Kind of funny story.
I've not heard this. I've interviewed you at least a couple times. Look here, fire up the phone lines. Our special guest is Zane. We're going to go from the Duke Divinity School preacher's kid using his computer to give birth to what arguably is some of the most steamy and erotic books ever written in the history of, eroticism.
Yeah, I hope so.
448-922-2703. How do you go from try Jesus, he's all right, to, you know,
the that sex dress, chronicles.
Yeah, to the sex chronicle. That dress looked good on you, but it would look much better on the floor. How do you go from that? All in one thing, you know, all in one thing. 448-922-2703. It is our Sister Soul Talk series. And I have the honor of having our special guest inside the studio of Zane. And you heard of Atlanta Roots, Benjamin Elijah Mays High School, Spelman College. And now she'll talk to us about how she went from that to penning some of the best all-time seller books. And what is she doing now? And what does the future pray tell? 448-922-2703. It is Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WALK.
Hi, my name is Yolanda, and you're listening to Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman.
And who are you, young lady?
News and Talk 1380 WALK.
All right.
Call us at 404-822-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WALK.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
Lordy.
You can't handle the truth.
Hey, we're still seeing delays right now. 85 northbound in Gwinnett County as they clear this crash near Jimmy Carter.
Get the radio. I'll tell it like it is, whether you like it or not.
Call us at 404-892-2703. On the voice of the community. News and Talk 1380 WALK.
I never meant to cause you any pain.
Too much truth. All right, and we're back. Our special guest is Zane, and so she was telling growing up from Washington, D.C., dad was a preacher, mother an educator.
Yes.
Competitive academically as a child. And how many sisters, brothers? It's four of you all. So
four.
How many sisters and brothers?
Two sisters, one brother.
Two sisters and one brother.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the baby.
I'm the baby. So by third grade, I was taking speed reading, and by sixth grade, I was reading a book a day.
And you were spoiled, wouldn't you?
I was spoiled.
Because I'm the baby, too. I'm the youngest
of six. Yeah, I was spoiled.
And so you always had a passion for reading. You always liked reading.
Yeah, and actually, when I started college, I placed out of the required English courses when I started Spelman. We took the placement test.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, you didn't have to opt out. You don't have to take these courses.
I took like a creative writing. Mm-hmm. I took something, but I placed out all the required English courses.
So you start writing. You start on your dad's computer over at Duke University.
Well, it was a computer that Duke had given me to work from at home to be his research
assistant. Oh, the research assistant.
Yeah, but
keep it in the family.
The computer belonged to Duke Divinity School.
So tell us the first thought of, I need to write, and I want to write about a subject that's, you know, may
so
not
funny.
Be so
I'll tell you exactly how it all came about.
Okay.
I was at home one night bored, and this story popped into my head called First Night. And I just decided to just write it down. I'd always been a strong writer. And even though I was a child, all of my teachers told me I was going to grow up and become a famous writer, but I never took it seriously.
Right.
So I wrote the story called First Night, and that's when I first also got on the internet, and I was on AOL.
That's all we had.
Yeah, I would go into chat rooms and stuff. So I knew a few people, and I wrote this story, and I sent it to a few people, and just asking their opinion of it. And the next thing you know, they're like, oh, this is the hottest thing I've ever read. Do you have anything else? They were passing it around. Strangers started emailing me and asking me, could they be on my mailing list? And I'm like, I didn't know what any of this was, you know.
Right.
And that just took off. So I wrote two more stories called The Seduction in the Airport. And I put those three stories on my free, back then America Online gave you like free web space.
Mm-hmm.
For you to put up web pages. I put those on there and I emailed the people back. I said, well, I have these three stories up. And within 3 weeks, I had gotten like 8,000 views by word of mouth alone. And then America Online took it down because of the content.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, let's jump back a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, what is in this content?
You know,
what was this
first
character that was created that jumped out of your head onto the religious folks' research computer?
First Night was just about a couple that had been dating, and they drove up to this like bed and breakfast place on a motorcycle. And they got there, and it was raining, and it was just a romantic story about their first night making love. And to me, honestly, I had never read erotica. I didn't even know I was writing erotica. And it, to me, it was just a story, a very detailed story.
Right.
And I'm a very detailed writer no matter what I'm writing. And that includes when it comes to sensuality. Because to me, that's not something we tone down in real life. A lot of times in real life, that's when we feel the most alive.
And the reality of it is most people don't want it toned down.
Right.
No, nobody want it yet. Vanilla.
Right.
They want it. So tell us your approach to describing it. For those who have may not been, you know, this acquainted with Zane in her writing style. So do you describe to the detail?
I'm very detailed.
The pillows and the, you know, the smell of the room.
Everything.
Give us an
the
example.
The taste of what somebody tastes like.
Huh?
Everything. I'm very descriptive.
Do you find that what draw your audience to you?
I think that's part of it. And I think part of it is also the stories that I tell, the characters that I develop. It is the sensuality part, but I think it's more so me putting these particular characters in certain situations and then that sensuality being a part of it. A lot of people get really caught up and attached to my characters. I remember when I first wrote Addicted and it came out, my first book, the one that became a film, I was online one night and some, it was like an online message board or something, and they were discussing Addicted. And they were arguing about Zoe and Jason like they were real people.
Yeah.
And it shocked it shocked me to read the comments because, like, no, Zoe doesn't deserve this and Jason this and, you know, da da da. They were arguing back and forth with each other like these were real individuals.
And you were having a little peep show then, weren't you?
Yeah.
Kind of looking in on what other people are thinking and saying.
Yeah.
What is the fun part to you? What was the first, let's go back to, what was the first piece you wrote in America? First Night.
Mm-hmm.
What did people say to you about First Night that made you either want to refine and make it better or what feedback
was,
did they give
I
you?
I thought the feedback was kind of humorous to me because I was shocked at the way that people were like, oh, I've never read anything like that. You know, that's the hottest thing I've ever seen. that kind of stuff. It really, really surprised me. Mm-hmm. And when I was continue writing short stories online, when I knew that I had really hit upon something,
right,
is when one of my friends showed up at my house. She worked the 3 to 11 o'clock shift at Freightliner Trucks.
Right, I know what that is.
Yeah. And she showed up at my house at midnight, and I was asleep. And I was like, what is going on? She was banging on the door. She's like, you've got to read this. You've got to read this. The guys at my job were printing this out and passing it around. And it turned out it was one of my short stories. And she didn't know that I was saying, you know, that's the interest. I led a double life for
wow.
5 years. You know that?
Oh, well, you got to talk about that.
Yeah, nobody knew I was Zane for
so
5 years.
So Zane is your pseudo name, obviously.
Yes.
And
nobody knew, not my parents, not my friends, nobody. So when she brought that over my house at night, I didn't want to sit there and pretend like I was reading something when I already knew every word. So I said, you know, just leave it here and I'll read it in the morning.
But that it was just is hilarious. So,
yeah. But that's what I knew.
You were
on
to
that
something.
I was on to something.
All right, 448-922-2703. Let's go to Wesley. He's in this southwest Atlanta. Wesley, you're on with Arthur Zane.
Hey, Derek, man, I think this is the first time I've heard you tongue-tied in years, man.
But, look here, Ms. Zane talks sex all the time. Cause I'm just like, oh, I'm sexually liberated. Sex is exciting and wonderful and magical and pixie dust and glitter and flowers and all that to me. So I don't have no hang up talking about it.
Yeah, I think you need a handkerchief though, bro.
I know, right?
But I commend you on your success. And, you know, I think it's great that you were able to think outside the box.
Thank you.
My question to you is, given your experience with writing and publishing, similarly to the music industry, if you, mm-hmm. if there was going to be a person producing music, you know, they say that the recovery in terms of books or music written, the profits aren't what they expected them to be. So what would you recommend in terms of a person who decides to publish books?
Okay.
Or put a book out. What would be some of your advice?
Excellent question. We're gonna get to that too. We're gonna talk about the whole thing. How much time you got? First of all, thank you, Wesley.
That time.
All right. So let's just go to that. I want to come back because I'm really building up to all of these other books and the subject content matter.
Mm-hmm.
But many artists will say, "I did not get paid. I got a bad deal."
Mm-hmm.
In the music biz, it's almost like ain't no good deals out there unless you create your own content, mm-hmm. self-publish, all you create a complete circle so the money can circle back to you. Talk a little bit about the business side.
Well,
what have you learned from the first America Online to your last book you read and wrote in terms of how you get your money out of this thing?
Well, I originally self-published my first three books, not because I had to, because I had publishers offer me deals, but they wanted me to change my writing style.
Yeah.
I decided I didn't want to do that. So I was very successful at self-publishing. And you can make a lot of money that way, but the distribution is limited, which is why I decided to go with a major publisher. And I don't regret that because it's a game of numbers, because that took me to a whole nother level. I'm published in different languages around the world. Like, I have books in Japanese.
You're with Simon Schuster.
Yes, I have
the
books.
The biggest one, probably the biggest in the world.
Yeah, so I have books published in Thai, Japanese. I'm drawing a blank. I have a lot of different, Danish.
And do you since we're on the business side of it, we got to get ready to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the business. Then we're going to jump back in.
I get paid off every single sale, yes.
So every time a Zane book sale, how many books are you up to now?
The number of titles or the number of books sold?
The number of titles. How many
38.
Different books? You have 38 different books out in the marketplace.
Yes. 39 and 40 are coming.
And you get paid off of every one. You go back to Amazon right now, I can order any.
Yeah, my backlist is
the hot box to Total Eclipse of the Heart and Nervous.
All of them are still in print. In fact, when like Walden Books was still around, they had a top 15 African-American title list each week. Every week, at least 7 or 8 books were my books.
And you've been writing now for how long?
I became Zane in November 97 and published my first book in May of 2000.
Okay. All right, got to keep those numbers down. All right, look, we got to take a quick break here. If you got a comment for Zane, if you read any of her books, if you're going to read one tonight, you know, and if you want to know more about her works, call us up, 448-922-2703. We're going back and see the preacher's daughter sneaking, putting all this erotic content onto the research assistant's computer.
that's supplied by the Good Theological Seminary. And at what point does it do you have to come out and tell your folks, well, here I am. Hold on. Put a pin in that. We got to take a break. We'll be back.
Okay.
News and Talk 1380 WALK.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WALK.
All right, all right, all right. You're going to learn today.
Breaking news, sports, weather, and traffic. We're live from the WALK newsroom on News and Talk 1380 WALK.
Too much truth.
For a woman to have a successful marriage, she's going to need to be like a baby every day. She's going to need to take care of her hygiene. I can tell you, once you stay married to them a while, their hygiene tends to go, okay? It really does, because they start getting calmer with you. She's going to be my lady. She's going to be sweet as candy every day.
It's Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Y'all know what you say. Voulez-vous coucher avec moi,
c'est
soir.
Yeah, that's one of those freaky songs from back in the day.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's what Zane want to know. Voulez-vous coucher avec moi, c'est soir. You want to go home with me tonight? Yeah, it's just that simple, you know. Ain't nothing but to get on in the Uber and come on over here. 4-4-8-9-2-2-7-0-3. So all of this in there, you got to tell your parents.
Mm-hmm.
When did you know? I'm getting ready to. What were you doing? What were you doing work wise when you were writing this?
I was a regional sales manager for a company based out of South Africa.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you start getting all of this feedback. When did you know that you were going to end up writing? This is really going to be your avocation. It's going to end up being what?
Well, when I started selling a bunch of books, self-published, and I was still going and working my regular job, and I said, this is stupid, because the only reason I was still doing it because I hadn't told anybody. So I finally said,
you really acted in anonymity.
Yeah, and I had sold at that point probably about 350, 400,000 books, and I was still working my regular job.
Wow.
And I finally, what happened, I had joked with my parents one time and said I was thinking about writing a book under a fake name. This was like about 3 years before this actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with my mother one day, and I told her, I asked her to stop by a drugstore. And I went in there, I brought a copy of Essence magazine. And I came back out, and I said, you remember when I joked about writing a book under a fake name? And she said, yeah, and I just started kind of giggling. And she said, you did it, didn't you? And I opened up the Essence to the bestseller list, and at the time I had 3 out of 5 of the Essence bestsellers. And I said, this Zane person, I said, this is me. And she was like, what? I said, I'm Zane. And so she was dropping me back off at my house, and I was hoping, and I thought about it. I was hoping she was going to drop me off and go home. So she comes in and she says, well, I want to see one of the books.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I, you know, you couldn't find anything in my house that said I was Zane, but I went up to my closet and I debated about what book I could show my mother.
Wow.
Because the Sex Chronicles, the table of contents was like, woo, you know, alone.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to give her that one. So I finally settled on getting her a copy of Addicted.
And did you let her take it with her?
Yeah, she took it home and showed it to my father.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny part is my father, at the time, until recently, I just surpassed him probably 5-6 years ago. My father actually has about 30 books out, religious books.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very well-known theologian, and I mean, he has a book where the foreword was written by Desmond Tutu and all that stuff. So at the time, he had, you know, dozens of books out, and it was just funny because their reaction was not what I expected. They were just like,
yeah.
We didn't understand. They didn't understand why I hadn't told them.
And so they were fine with it.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny because my parents are both 91 now. They're both still
alive. Wow. Oh, what a blessing.
And my mother's friends are like now, oh, you know, she's Zane's mother. And her friends read my books.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that kind of stuff. So it's pretty funny now.
Talk about your approach to your craft.
Mm-hmm.
Where does the characters come from?
The characters come. I've always had a very vivid imagination.
Right.
Let me just say that right off the break. But I tend to come up with a subject matter that I feel I really want to tackle at the time. And generally, it's either something that I'm really passionate about or a trend that I see in society that I want to write about. Like, for example, the other side of the pillow, I notice a lot of women, because the other thing is I've been doing advice mail since 1997. And I notice a lot of women are very bitter and give up on relationships,
right,
like by their mid to late 20s. So I decided I wanted to write a book about the ultimate bitter woman and make her fall in love. And the book even starts out with her reciting this poem called Bitter at Spoken Word Night. I mean, she's extremely bitter. And I wanted to take this woman who pretty much hated men and make her fall in love. And so that's what I did. And so a lot of people after that told me that I gave them a newfound hope. You know, like they feel like if they can be mature like my characters and work past different situations. And that's what it really is about, how two people have to use their maturity to really decide they really want a relationship bad enough not to just walk away.
Who's your favorite character that you've created so far? Are they still in your head?
They're all still in my head. Generally, my favorite characters are the ones that I'm currently writing. So it's always my favorite book is always the one I'm currently writing.
We got that, but let's cut a tie as of today. If you had to go back, step back to 2000 when the first book came out, that's 19 years, almost 19, 20 years. Who does your fans most ask for to either return or to continue?
Well, probably Rain Waters from Afterburn. However, she can't continue. They want to read the story of Yardley, who she was in love with, because Rain actually dies at the end of Afterburn. But that's probably the character that most people felt the most compassion for, because I killed her. And so, and that book was really about appreciating life while you can. I mean, she literally got killed the same day she mailed her wedding invitations.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I just wanted to show how a lot of times we waste a lot of time in life. And, you know, sometimes it's too late when we finally get it together. Yeah. So that's probably the character that most people are drawn to.
All right, 404-892-2703. Our special guest is Zane.
And I do have a funny story about Afterburn, too, I can tell you.
Oh, man, this is something
else. You want me to tell you that real quick?
Go ahead, yes.
So in Afterburn, they go to what's called the O Street Mansion in Washington, D.C. for Valentine's Day, and they get the upstairs, like the penthouse suite. And I went to the O Street Mansion years after that. When I walked in, they had copies of Afterburn sitting there on the desk with a bookmark in it saying, we're in this book, and they had Afterburn bookmarks with it marked to the page. So the owner of the O Street Mansion thanked me because she said that all these men had been calling it a reserve, that penthouse, and said they read about it in Afterburn. She said there's always somebody with a deep voice calling and saying, does that penthouse that's in Zane's book, does it really exist? And it's like really expensive every night, probably $800-$900 a night. And so she said she's gotten so much business off of that book by the way I described it in the sex scene in there.
Do you incorporate places? Obviously you do, and incorporate places. How much of this Zane content is fiction, and how much of it is real?
A lot of it is real, but I never say what's real.
Right.
But a lot of it is real, but I would say maybe half and half, depending on what the book is. Half and half. Yeah. I've lived some life.
404-892-2703. Sisters, five the phones. Brothers, five the phones. You got questions or comments for Zane. You talked about your formative educational years growing up and your kind of foray. You just found erotica and
it really
sex.
I had never read erotica. I was just writing what I felt like.
What you felt like. But when you look at the genre, is there anybody out there, any young girls who are doing what you were doing? Do you have any mentees, mentors?
Well, I have one that I've published actually more than 30 books by her. Her name is Allison Hobbs. She and I write a lot alike.
And what attracted you to Allison? Did she find you or did you find her?
I met her at the Baltimore Book Festival. She had self-published her first book, Pandora's Box. And my sister told me I needed to go over there and meet this young lady before the festival was over.
Wow.
So this was before everybody knew that I was Zane, before I was really out there like that. So I went over there and I started asking her a bunch of questions to actually piss her off, to see what her temperament was, and to see if she had the personality and drive to really sell a lot of books. I was like, oh, what if your book fails? What if it sells a lot? You don't have money to publish new ones. I asked her all these questions just to, you know, to test her. And then I asked her to sign a book for me. And that's when she found out I was Zane. And because of that, and after reading her book, I was so blown away by her writing that I now have published more than 30 books by her.
What makes for a good erotic novel? Because I might need to be writing something.
A good erotic novel is one where the characters are developed and where people care, and you know the storyline, you know who they are to each other, what they've been through, and therefore when it comes to sexuality, when they become intimate, you actually care that they're being intimate. Because a lot of times, people, you can write a hot sex scene, just have two people walk in a room and go at it. But if you know who these people are, why they're together, why it's important for them to be together, or even if it's just a freaky situation, at least establish that. That's what makes good erotica.
What makes people keep wanting to read? Is it the descriptiveness? Is it
I think it's my story. What happens in the story? Very interesting storyline. I think it's the stories.
All right, 404-892-2703. It is a Sister Soul Talk during the month of March. Obviously, it's Women History Month. History Maker Zane is certainly in that category. As I said, many of you young girls were sneaking these books home and hiding them under the beds. And I think my sister probably done read every last one of them. She used to read even the Harlequin for, you know. This was a genre. Do we have enough black erotic writers?
You know, yeah, there are quite a few.
Quite a few now. Mm-hmm. The field opened up. You were mm-hmm. one of the early pioneers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we have quite a few now.
All right. 404-892-2703. Don't go into place. You got questions. She can answer them for you. If you are a Zane fan, if you read any of her books, New York Times bestselling author of Afterburn, The Heat Seeker, Dear G-Spot, Getting Buck Wild, Lord have mercy, The Hot Box. What yeah. The Hot Box is about? Love is Never Painless, Shame on It All, and The Sisters of APF. We'll let her tell her what's coming up next.
Absolutely.
What's coming up next and what characters are being created literally as we speak. We'll be back. It's News and Talk 1380 WALK.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Still seeing a sluggish ride northbound on the connector. We had a crash near 14th Street. That's backing up now.
What did you know that you could feed yourself and your family off of these books?
Immediately.
Immediately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You knew you were going to be, this is what your passion
is. It was kind of scary, actually. I had a fear of really doing it because I had a feeling it was going to be really big. I didn't know it was going to be as big as it became, like movies and television shows and stuff like that. But I knew, because I had built up such a following over the internet, I knew I would sell a lot of books.
Talk a little bit about that, because mm-hmm. people don't realize. I mean, you are emerging out of the generation and genre that was saying, hey, internet, not so much. You write your best first book 2000.
It came out in 2000. I actually wrote Addicted.
Wasn't even that big. Yeah, you had to dial up. One thing we had dial-up AOL with the slow mm-hmm. man who ran to the pyramid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you didn't have good service.
And people had to go to your individual websites and stuff. There was no social media.
Had to run you down to mm-hmm. find you. Mm-hmm. Talk about the evolution of technology and how it has hurt or either enhanced your business.
I think it's enhanced it if you understand it and know how to use social media. That's one of the things I actually teach an online course on writing and publishing, and that's one of the things I talk about is how to utilize social media and the internet to build up your brand. And it's much easier now than it was when I started because there was not even a MySpace or mm-hmm. a Black Planet or anything when I first started. And so now, you know, of course, it's gone way beyond that with Facebook and Instagram and all these other sites now. So if you know how to draw people in. It's really making people interested in things you have to say. And if they're interested in the things you have to say, because honestly, I just have a gift for gab. And I just talk about a lot of stuff that a lot of people don't talk about. And so whenever I do anything, people are very supportive of it, whether it's my a TV show, a movie, a book, whatever it is. I just did my first erotic podcast, Purple Panties, and that turned out really well. I did a scripted erotic podcast. And, you know, it was casted. It was a SAG production, all of that. And
really?
That did really, really well.
And tell us about Purple Panties. How did that come about?
I have a book called Purple Panties, and I have Purple Panties 2, which is Missionary No More. So Purple Panties was an anthology, a lesbian anthology with short stories. Oh. But what I did is I created a story for three women here in Atlanta, Maddox, Lauren, and Stephanie. And Lauren is an attorney. Stephanie is an aspiring actress. And Maddox owns a bar. So the story surrounds the three of them in their lives and, you know, their romances and, like, Maddox is in love with her neighbor, but her neighbor's never been in a lesbian relationship, so she's trying to hide it from her friends and family. Stephanie is actually sleeping with a famous female movie producer, executive, trying to move her way up to the top. And Lauren is actually with a woman she's been with for a long time, but that woman was a doctor, and she quit her practice, so she's not motivated anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's all about her struggle of how, you know, she was a lawyer, her lover with her partner was a doctor, but now it's like she's the only one with any ambition. So it's like her struggling with that whole thing and them trying to work out staying together.
Is that anything that is time moving the hotness into any genre, whether it's lesbians or a gay relationship?
Well, I personally believe passion and sensuality are universal. So right. That's just something I did when they approached me about doing an erotic podcast. I decided to do Purple Panties. I knew it was different than anything that I've done. So if people want more information that day, it's simple. They just go to purplepantiespodcast.com.
And yeah. do you create the characters and the characters live it out on the podcast?
Yes, or? Yes. You know, we had actual casting in L.A. We taped it at the same place where they actually taped Thriller in Hollywood. You know, so nice sound quality and everything.
Right.
And it turned out really, really well.
What gets you up every morning now after writing for all of these years? What gets you up and makes you want to continue to write?
Well, the good part about what I do for a living is I don't feel like I'm working.
Right.
So, because everybody asks, well, how do you do all this different stuff? It's because I love everything that I do. I have a passion for it. So I never really feel like I'm working. It's just fun. You know, and that can become stressful, like if I'm in the middle of actually a production where I'm the executive producer. That's stressful. Because then I'm on set 14 hours a day, 6 days a week, with probably, I think my smallest crew for a television show was like 82 people.
Wow.
Not including the cast. So that can become very, you know, stressful because of people, you know, you have that many people together every day like that for that amount of time. Mm-hmm. It can become very stressful.
Man. 404-892-2703. What are you working on now? What is in the works?
So I'm currently writing a book called My Heart Beats Differently, about two twins. And I don't really want to give the storyline away, but it's about two twin sisters. And through the course of a tragedy, one of them really finds herself again, figures out what she wants to do with her life. And then I'm working on the sequel to Afterburn, which was the book I mentioned earlier where the main character got killed off. I'm writing the sequel because everybody wants to know what happened with Yardley when he finds love again. And that's all about what happens when you're young. He actually meets a young lady whose husband was killed in a car accident. And his fiance, of course, was shot and killed. So it's like, what happens when you're very young and you lose the love of your life? Do you feel guilty about ever loving again?
I asked you earlier the content for these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Is it all in your head or is
pretty
it
much
a mixture of, you know, because even as you mentioned that, you know, I'm thinking about a cousin who married and had a daughter and probably after, I think the daughter maybe 4 or 5, they're in their late 30s. So wife has developed, you know, inoperable, incurable cancer. She dies. So he's single, raising
a daughter in a very high-powered financial world.
Mm-hmm.
And I would pray for that boy, like, man, how is he going to make this work?
Right.
You know, remarried and not long afterwards. And he's doing very successful. His daughter is now like 17, 18, doing very well now.
If it's hard, it's hard. And you lose the love of your life at a young age.
It's hard to do. Mm-hmm. But it makes for a good story, though.
Absolutely.
404-892-2703. When we come back, I want you to tell me, do you think I could be a good erotic story writer?
Sure.
And what tips will you give? Do you have writer's workshop?
I teach a course, and I do have a book about writing called Infinite Words. It talks about how to write erotic.
When is the next one?
I'm teaching it now.
Oh, is it online class? Is it?
I teach it every Tuesday from 8 to 10.
From where? Online or
online?
Oh, I thought you were going to let me come sit at the house and
sip
coffee and that kind of stuff while we work on it.
Yeah.
Hey. 404-892-2703. And then when we come back, I want you to tell us, you talk about the young lady, Allison. What was her name?
Allison Hobbs.
Hobbs. You have published. You publish now the I've third actually, of her books. Or
yeah,
something.
I've actually published over 120 other authors.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you get part of that money, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did Judge Mathis' book. I did Keith Sweat's book.
You
Ray
got a
J's
few little
book.
Corn then, don't you say?
I've published quite a few people. I did Debbie Morgan's book.
And you get a little cut off
Marion Barry's memoir.
Wow.
Mayor for Life. I convinced him to do that before he died.
Oh, he
I'm
is
so
the
glad
greatest.
He did. I'm
greatest.
So glad he did it. You know, he finally wrote his real life story himself.
We'll come back. We'll tell you. Tell us how that happens.
Okay.
Tell us how if you see somebody who's interesting like a Marion Barry.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, Mayor for Life, great book. Just a great guy. Probably one of the most underrated politicians that we know.
Mm-hmm.
That man, but that's why people didn't realize how this man could get elected so many times.
Right, exactly.
Because he absolutely loved the people and the people loved
him.
He
absolutely loved the people.
All right, look, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back. Don't go into place. Our special guest is Zane, Miss Erotica, the preacher's kid. And we'll be back with more of the show on News and Talk 1380 WALK.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Celebrating the accomplishments and strides made by women around the world for Women's History Month.
You run companies that are transforming industries. You lead organizations that are changing people's lives and by shattering just about every glass ceiling imaginable.
On WAOK. Atlanta, WVEE HD3.
You all have shown us that a woman's place is truly wherever she wants it to be.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Breaking news, sports, weather, and traffic. We're live on.
All right. All right. She is Zane, author, and for 5 years lived in the shadows, didn't want nobody to know, and finally started getting all of them checked. Zane, what is it? You know, we got to get in the business side of this thing now. Your best year of writing it just financially.
What's the question?
I'm finna get to it.
Oh, okay.
$500,000, $250,000, $1 million, up in 1 year, $1 million and a half.
Up.
Now you're kidding me.
Just my best year. Yeah, up.
Your best year.
Mm-hmm.
You done made that kind of money.
Well, like I said, it's a power. It's in the numbers. You know, book industry has changed,
no doubt.
And I've slowed down.
Certainly.
But in my best, in my heyday,
And the checks would come in. What would you do? What would if the check come in? Because we're talking about $1 million a year. That's over $100,000 a month, and the checks come in, and you just, what would you do first after giggling a little bit? Because I'm sure you probably thought, did you ever thought you could make that kind of money? Well, you did say you expected it.
Honestly, I was so caught up in working that it was.
The money wouldn't even.
I was always like, I've never really, and she'll tell you, even when I have a new book come out, I rarely don't like
celebrate. You're working on the next
thing. I don't like celebrate a new book coming out unless it just happens to be like a release party or something I'm having. But like me just like, oh, my new book came out, I need to celebrate it. Oh, I finished a book, let me celebrate. I never do that. You know, I just keep, you know, I just keep going. So I've never. For me, and it's never been about that. It's been about doing what I like to do.
Yeah, but them little checks help, though.
Yeah, they help. But, yeah, and like I said, I'm blessed to be able to do what I love to do as a, you know, for a living because I've always loved movies. I've always loved TV. I've loved, you know, books. So it's all a natural progression for me.
Talk about the big screen when they come asking, look, we want to put this book on the screen. We think Addicted is good enough, and we want to tell this story with Angela Bassett and whoever else want to tell it.
Well, you know, Addicted came out.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, when you hear that, when they call, when Hollywood calls, say, we want to put this on the big screen, what say do you have in it? I mean, what say did
all
you have in Addicted?
All the same.
You told them you want this actor to play it, or you want to, you know.
The director and I discussed it, yes.
That had to be exciting.
It was exciting. And for my television shows, I literally did everything for those.
And talk about your shows, television. What has been on TV?
Zane's Sex Chronicles was loosely based on my real life. And the main character was portraying me and the whole double life thing. Because what happened originally, they wanted to do my short stories. But when they met me and found out about my life, they were like, they thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
They're like, we'd rather the show be about you. So that's how that turned out.
And who
about.
Played you in the... In
Patrice
the...
Fisher portrayed me.
Okay.
On Zane's Sex Chronicles, and then I had Zane's The Jump Off, which was about five fraternity brothers in Miami, which did really well, too, because it showed black males and their sexuality in a different light, you know, their outlook on relationships and stuff like that.
Do you have a preference, men, writing men's stories or women's stories? Or does it really matter? They kind of intertwine, go in and out.
I write both, so it doesn't really matter to me. I do really good at writing men. Men are actually shocked that I know so much about how to write a male's character.
What makes you able to?
Life, observing people, really trying to, being able to listen a lot and see what people really think. I don't believe in, like, debating people about their thoughts and opinions because there's nothing to debate.
Right. You know, You're entitled to your own opinion, your own approach to whatever. But you just write based on what you feel, understand, and think that people want to see and hear.
Right, exactly.
Are any of your books illustrated where people get an insight of what the characters might look like?
No. They're not.
Why not? Why not bring... Yardley to life, and
a lot
you know.
Of people said I should kind of do that, like, and what, you know, maybe do
you don't have
now.
To. You want to paint the picture
right,
in the mind.
I want to paint the picture.
4-4-8-9-2-2-7-0-3 Y'all five the phone lines. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines and let Zane answer your question. If you have read any of the books, seen any other TV series, Zane's Sex Chronicles, The Jump Off. They're featured on Cinemax in her best-selling novel, Addicted. It's a major motion picture with Lionsgate Film. She is a publisher of Strayboar Books and an imprint of Atria Books and Simon Schuster. You can find Zane. Now, how can they find you on social media, Zane?
On Instagram, I'm Planet Zane, and on Facebook... They can just type in Zane. It's the biggest Zane on, you know, Facebook. I forgot what my thing is, but they just type in Zane.
Have you read anybody and you said, you know, that heifer trying to bite my style here?
No, I think I'm unique, to be honest with you. I'm very strange. I'm very strange. No, I've never done that.
No. 4-4-8-9-2-2-7-0-3 Have you ever met anybody say, I wouldn't mind, you know?
I've met a lot of people who say they write like me.
And then you read they stuff, say, uh-uh, child.
Well, they shouldn't try to be the next me. They should be trying to be the first next, them.
There you go. 4-4-8-9-2-2-7-0-3 4-4-8-9-2-2-7-0-3 We'll be back. It's News and Talk 1380 WALK.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Moving through the downtown exits, north and south on the downtown connector, over on the east side of town.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Julie from TLC, and you're listening to Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on 1380 WAOK.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Never seen a sunshine like this. Never seen the moon glow like this. Never
seen... I have the perfect life. Best family anyone could hope for. My husband is every woman's dream.
Love you. Our love is forever.
Always has been.
Always will be.
This guy still doesn't have a rep.
We could license his work.
Yeah. Hello?
Sorry? Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm all yours.
Are you on your way?
This is gonna be one of those long nights.
We didn't have any plans tonight, did we?
Guess not.
Don't wait up, all right?
Zoe? You sure you're okay?
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom.
I've turned down everyone before. You wanna know why I chose you?
Why?
I wanna ask you for something in return. I wanna ban you. So that when you're not here, I can satisfy myself with a mere thought of you.
What's in your mind, baby?
We should talk about things.
You're exhausted.
I have to talk to somebody.
Come in here. It's not an easy step to take.
I can't. My family, my kids.
I know I'm not supposed to be with another man's wife. I can't help it.
I took a step down a terrible path. I do want to get better.
You will.
I didn't expect to fall in love with you, and I did.
Where are you going tonight?
Bit of advice. Be careful.
Sink or swim. It is up to you.
You two built this family together. Are you willing to throw all that away?
You're not gonna walk away from me.
Don't throw it away!
All right. It's addicted. It sounds. How do you know when it's, you put your stamp of approval on and say, I'm satisfied with it?
Well, I thought that the cast did an amazing job. I thought the production value was great. We shot it here in Atlanta.
Okay.
And I think it turned out very, very well. I was very pleased with it.
All right, let's go to our phone. Let's go to Todd on line 3. Todd, you're on with Zane.
Yo, Derek. Zane.
Yes.
I've said this to you before. You and Prince have gotten more brothers play than any combo on the planet Earth. Mm-hmm. Who did the background music for Addicted? I mean, the background music for Addicted.
Yeah,
for that particular song that was just played
for the whole movie, because there was music through the whole movie,
right?
And I thought
one song was Estelle.
Well, I mean, let me rephrase the question: was there somebody that selected the music for you, or you selected all the background music yourself?
Mm-hmm. It was a combination. It was a combination.
And I've only read 4 of your books, mm-hmm. so I don't. You may have already hit this topic before. But have you ever done a book where the spirit world was involved?
No, I have not. I have published books like that.
I saw this scene in if you have any memory of the movie Poltergeist,
mm-hmm.
there was a scene when the ghost got with that woman, snatched her up off the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to re-see the movie a couple days ago, so it's fresh in my mind as I'm listening to you now. And I'm like, I bet you could do something with that. Mm-hmm. Had you, not so much as a book, but as much as made for cable TV movie. have you spent any time with it, thinking about it?
Not on that particular topic. Like I said, I published it, but no, I haven't written it yet. But I'll think about it.
All right, let's go to Jackson in Atlanta. Jackson, how are you? You're on with Zane.
Hello, DB. How are you?
Doing
and Zane?
Well.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, not too bad. It's ironic that I'm speaking with you because my niece played the friend of the character of the addicted person.
Oh, okay.
Emmy Yahtzee.
Uh-huh, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I have a story that is very dynamic, is still moving, is still playing out. Has anyone ever approached you and asked you to put pen to their story?
I have ghostwritten books before. I will say that. I'm not going to say which ones I did. But yes, people have approached me before. But I've ghostwritten books before.
So if I had a story that's so dynamic that, well, that's the way I feel about it, how would I get in contact with you or whatever?
You can email zanesrighthandchick@gmail.com.
Zane Right Hand Chick?
Yeah, Zanes, Z-A-N-E-S, Right Hand Chick, C-H-I-C-K, @gmail.com. And
okay,
that's my assistant's email. She's sitting right here beside me, so she'll be
okay. All right.
Tell us a little bit about this story now. Well, give us a little insight on what's going on.
Okay, Brother Hiram.
You got an old lady or what? What's happening?
No, Brother Hiram, it's not like that. It's a very dynamic movie story that is still playing out.
Oh, okay.
It's the love of my life that has a debilitating disease.
Okay, I got you.
And I'll leave it there.
There you go. Well, look here. We got one of those with thank you, brother. What's the B. Smith
Yeah, that's interesting.
And brought the white girl in. And B sitting there, they just taking pictures. B had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, that's
I hadn't even talked about that because I don't even know how I feel about it. It's kind of.
I don't think it's right.
Yeah.
I think if he wants to have a girlfriend, I don't think it should be in the same household. He should have someone taking care of his wife while he goes somewhere else or something. You know, I don't think that they need to be in the same household like that together.
Particularly, she has no idea because she's an unwilling participant.
Right,
in this,
exactly.
You know.
Mm-hmm. So, no, I don't agree with that
at
all.
No, me either. That's kind of how I felt. Like, she's really been ultimately betrayed.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Now, you can have love and you can have companion, but she has neither the mental capacity to tell you no and don't put me in the picture with this heifer.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think if he's
because we know if she had her mental faculties, she wouldn't be sitting there smiling.
No, absolutely.
She'd been
not.
Scratching both of my eyes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally disagree with what he's doing.
All right, 404-892-2703. Look, we got Zane. We got a few more minutes to go. And if you want to have a question, if you got a book inside of you, or you trying to get one out of your head, or whatever, Zane, let's just talk about what advice would you give budding authors who feel like they can tell the story.
You get it down on paper. A lot of people say they want to write a book, but they never write. You know, and so my whole thing is start writing, and it doesn't have to be perfect. But you have to start. You can't win a race until you get in it.
What is your average page count a day? Do you have a certain, if you know you wanted to, does your book evolve just over time? What is your writing? Do you wake up at night and you can knock out 10, 15 pages?
Sometimes I write a book very, very fast, and sometimes I write it very, very slow. It depends on the book.
What came to you fast? Which one of these books of the 38?
Shame on It All came pretty fast.
And?
Afterburn, the second half of Afterburn came fast. I actually had written the first half and set it aside for several years. And then I decided what I wanted to do with it. It originally had a different title and everything. And then when I decided where I was going to take the book, I finished it very quickly. So it just depends.
But I have
to really be filling the characters and filling the story.
Do you see the end, the middle, or the beginning first?
Again, depends on the book.
Okay.
I generally know what's going to happen at the end, though. I kind of have in my head the general storyline, and then I just kind of put it all together.
You kind of had a little bravado about you when you talked about killing off the character.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that often.
No.
Why did she have to die?
Because at that time in my life, first of all, I was losing a lot of people close to me.
Okay.
One of them in particular was very young. He had sickle cell disease.
Yeah.
But the one thing I can say about him, even though he didn't live as long as other people, is that he really appreciated every day of his life. Even though he was in and out of the hospital a lot, he was told, his parents had said he wasn't going to live past like 8, but he ended up living, you know, much longer than that. And I just thought about so many people that worry about the little things in life and don't really appreciate what's going on. And I really believe, like, at the end of the day, it's not really about money. I'm just going back to that for a minute. It's what we trade our life energy for. We all have a certain amount of hours in our life, however many thousands of those hours are. So we decide what we trade our life energy for, whether it's, you know, being with somebody we care about, whether it's making money, whether it's, you know, whatever it is. That's what we're ultimately spending is our life energy.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been personally had your own heart broken?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Did he end up in the book?
Yes.
Does he know it?
Yes.
Do y'all laugh about it?
Well, not so much a book. I would say on Zane's Sex Chronicles. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
404-892-2703. When we come back, let's talk about the little blue pill. It has reinvigorated many people.
Mm-hmm.
See, Alice, and I even got the DB special.
You can get out of the health food store. I heard that could be very long-lasting when people take it. That's what I've heard.
They said, look here, after 4 hours, you should consult a physician. We say after 4 hours, you should consult your black book and keep dialing some numbers.
Right.
That's what I say. 448-922-2703. We're just having a good fun with my good friend Zane. And people can write you and you return their stuff back. You said,
yeah, I've been doing advice.
You get sex
since.
Advice? We'll come back. Tell her what do people be writing you asking?
Oh,
you,
goodness.
The kind of stuff they be asking. When we come back, we're going into the mailbag to see what y'all be asking Zane about.
Oh, yeah. Dear G Spot, that's what that is. That's a whole collection of advice emails that I got on different topics.
Dear G Spot.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we're going to also ask, you know, this is a part of our Sister Soul Talk series. What advice would you give to young ladies in terms of just finding their way, sexuality, and ultimately relationship? What are these young girls, these 20-some-year-olds, these millennials be asking you about? Hold on.
Okay.
Got to take
a break.
When we come back, we'll make sure we ask that on the other side of the break. 448-922-2703. Some of y'all probably sitting at home blushing, but look, sex is just like breathing. You know, it's just like getting up and taking a good old breath. It's just so natural. Because I don't know why people have such a taboo about it. Because, look, if it wasn't for sex, you wouldn't be here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we thank God for good sex. 448-922-2703. And some of the bad ain't too bad either. Ain't got to always be, you know, fireworks and, you know, cherry pops and lollipops and everything. We'll be back as News and Talk 1380 WLK.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
You want answers? I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Breaking news, sports, weather, traffic. We're live from the WAOK newsroom on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
NBC News Radio. I'm Brian Shook. A dozen Senate.
From 4 to 7 p.m., I'm tuned into Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Play all these freaky songs, or that's just
because
I'm here?
No, we pretty. We middle of the road.
Y'all playing
here.
My favorites today.
Really?
Yeah, Purple Rain and Kim and now Freak Like Me.
Mm-hmm. Now look at what do you do to relax?
Ah, that's a good question. I don't relax that much, to be honest with you. But I like cultural stuff. I'm a creative spirit, so I like concerts and museums and just relaxing, watching movies. Reading, obviously, listening to music, just
doing
nothing really exciting.
Creative.
Exciting. Mm-hmm.
Nothing exciting. Exciting.
Mm-mm.
Where the man at?
He's around.
Okay.
He's around. Yeah.
If somebody want to court Zane, what are the one or two, three things they must come to the table with?
They can't be intimidated. Most of the time, they have to be like a strong alpha male.
Mm-hmm.
And have to be romantic.
You like to be romantic. You're mm-hmm. a woman's woman, absolutely. Like flowers.
I like the flower petals.
To be taken out to dinner,
the
door open.
To the bedroom, all of that.
Your parents are 91 now.
Yes.
That's a blessing.
Mm-hmm. And my dad still buys my mother flowers and candy for Valentine's Day and all that stuff.
I find that most people, formational understanding of relationship mm-hmm. come from watching how their mother and daddy court and love each other.
I believe that's true. Mm-hmm. Which is why.
What did you see growing up that made you say, I know what love is. I know when I see it.
Well, my parents, I have great parents. You know, I never really have ever seen my parents argue before. It sounds strange, but I haven't. And they just always had a mutual respect for each other, gave each other space. Mm-hmm. My dad traveled a lot. My mother, when she wanted to do whatever she wanted to do, she did as well. They were great at parenting us together. And like I said, my dad still buys my mother flowers and candy for Valentine's Day. They've been married, 60. They got married in 1953. So how many years that is? A lot.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Of your brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Who laughed the loudest when you said to your brothers and sister, I'm Zane?
I'm not sure if it was really laughter. It was more like shock.
But right.
At the same time, not totally surprised because everybody knew that I could write. They just didn't know I was doing this,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that I was going to actually jump out and make it a career. Yeah. So it's been an interesting ride.
It seems like it.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about young ladies. What is the best advice will you give them through either your art or through your actual practical life?
Walk away from toxic relationships.
Get out of it.
Get out.
Run like hell.
And don't wait for the red flag on top of the red flag on top of the red flag.
What's a toxic relationship to you?
A toxic relationship is one that takes you outside of who you normally would be, a relationship that doesn't bring you happiness. That is really like inviting drama into your household,
right.
and telling them to have a seat at your dining room table. One where there's not respect and trust, where you can't trust someone, where the most important thing to me is you have to be able to feel comfortable enough to be yourself around the person.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people in relationships, they don't even feel comfortable.
How important is the sex in it now?
Depends on the person. For some people, it's extremely important. For other people, it's not. You know, I jokingly made this post a few months ago. I was joking, but it was interesting because I said, I know what it was. There was an article in O Magazine that said like 20 million women no longer had a sex drive, including married women. So I joked and I said, I wonder if I should start a dating site for women that are looking for men who are impotent so they can just have companionship. And I was joking. Do you know how many women of all different races
were interested? Hitting you saying, when are you going to get that going?
They were interested.
Well, fella might be interested too. Look here. Before you got here,
might be a whole new market.
Before we got here, we talked about sugar daddies now. Because if you a black man who can live past like 60 mm-hmm. something, that's mm-hmm. very rare mm-hmm. to begin with. Our life expectancy with all this hell we catch out here.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get down there, look, we got money, resources, and I've talked about the relationship of convenience.
You know,
I don't want the drama and all of this other stuff
mm-hmm.
of the schools. That's mm-hmm. what we're talking about, all the schools with Sugar Daddy, Georgia State,
and Howard.
Howard, mm-hmm. your school. Because you ultimately transfer
mm-hmm.
from Spelman to Howard.
Yeah, and they said Howard was like
number
on
the
list. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like number one on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Sugar Daddy want to help pay the tuition
mm-hmm.
and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Howard's like 20 grand a semester, so yeah.
4-4-8-9-2-2-7-0-3, got a little bit more time. Well, Zane, if you wouldn't write, what would you be doing?
That is a very good question. If I was younger, I would have become a lawyer. Now, if I wasn't doing this, I probably would have a big event planning company. I'm very good at planning events, and I like that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You should have come to the gala.
Yeah, I love planning. I'm very good at event planning. I even have a name I thought of for a company. I might do that on the side because I love planning events.
404-892-2703. Do your friends call you up and ask you for give me a little advice?
Yes.
All the time?
Quite often. Mm-hmm.
Do you get tired of just telling people about their sex life and everything.
Well, they talk to me about that, but they talk about, you know, life in general, relationships, right. And, you know, their career, everything, really.
404-892-2703. We got about 10 more minutes to go on the other side of the break. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back. I'm going to be headed down to the Georgia International Convention Center. I'm going to decide which one of these jackets I'm going to put on. I'm going to go in traditional black. You know, I got a mauve color one in the car. I don't know what I'm
going to do. Okay. I say go with the mauve.
Since Zane said go with the mauve, I'm going to bust the mauve out. And tell them, hook. Here I am now. 448-922-2703. 448-922, a little dash of color on it. 448-922-2703. You should already be at the venue. Doors have already opened. People should be seated. The program is about to start at 7 o'clock. It's going to start on time and finish on time. With 2 hours and 30 minutes, we'll be walking out of there. You know, that's what we say on the paper anyway. Look, we got to take a break. We'll be back. Don't go into place. Stick and stay with us. Our special guest, Sister Soul Talk Series, is Zane the author. We'll be back in a moment. It's News and Talk, 1380 WALK.
Up your Thursday evening ride on the north side. Had an earlier crash, 25 eastbound near Ashford, Dunwoody. On the perimeter, if you're traveling through DeKalb County on 285 south from Spaghetti Junction down towards Interstate 20, that trip taking about 25 minutes. The connector north and south still jam-packed, northbound before University Avenue, 85 and 75 and 400, all just crawling into that merge in Brookwood. And right now, if you're in DeKalb County, 285 eastbound, still seeing a wave of heavier volume between 675 and Interstate 20. I'm Will Guerra on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Metro, interested in hitting a key demographic? It's time to take your marketing to the next level. Advertise on WAOK. Radio is still the best way to reach customers who will hear about your product and move to action. Tell thousands of listeners about your business by advertising on WAOK. For more info, contact Josh Melnick at 404-898-8936.
Too much truth.
Thank you for all that you do. I thank you for speaking out and speaking up against injustice in this nation. And God has anointed you to come against powers of darkness in high places.
It's Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
We've had a 2.5 hour conversation about sex, and it's just been just wonderful. Kind of around the fringes, you know, but it's been wonderful. I mean, you know, grown folk, you can talk about what you know about. 448-922-2703. Is sex going to ever go out of business?
Never.
It's never going to go out of
business.
Never.
That's the one thing I know for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is never going to get old.
No, people are not going to stop having sex.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I agree. And we're getting more sexually liberated. People are, you know, people like Candy.
Although back in the ancient times, they were pretty buck wild back then, though.
But they didn't. The difference was that you didn't have to display all your business out here now.
Yeah, they were pretty wild. They had tons of orgies and stuff back in the day.
Yeah, but, you know, people still, we just now finding out about it.
Yeah.
Some of them were just freaks,
mm-hmm.
you know.
The I don't think it's anything new under the sun.
No, there's not.
Everything has been done before.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how we know about it. 448-922-2703, but some of y'all forget now. It's a different time. You can't just give them Quaaludes and knock them out and do what you want now because the Me Too movement done put a halt to all that.
Right.
That's why I told him that was Bill Cosby. He just got caught back in the 70s and 80s where that was the way they were doing it. And figured out now this is 2000. This is from the 99 to the 2000. You can't be doing it.
Right.
You can't do it like that no more. That was alright in the 60s, in the hippie generation, the 70s, everybody pop a pill, free love, free sex.
Stuff,
but nah, these women, now they'll sue you when they think you got something. Now, if you're broke now, you can still do it, but if you got some money, it ain't going to work out for you. Let's go to Trey in Norcross. Trey, you're on with Zane.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing good. Good evening.
Hey, Zane, I just wanted to thank you for bringing that book to the screen, Addicted. I took my girlfriend to see that. It was a real good movie.
Oh, thank you.
I read a few of your other books. I've perused a few of the other books in the past. And, you're great at what you do. Keep it up. Do you ever plan on bringing any more books to screen?
Absolutely. And then I actually have an original script that I'm getting ready to direct. I'm going to make a
movie. Wow.
Yeah, and it's deep. It's called Deceptive Behavior.
Oh, yeah. That sounds nice. That sounds nice. I just wanted to shout you out and let you know that I did enjoy that, and I wish you nothing but the best.
All thank right. you very much.
Thank you, Trey. That Trey was getting...
See, you getting like male getting, callers. You see, we getting a bunch of male callers.
Ain't no woman on call. You ain't nothing but the men. Trey was getting, like, excited. Woo, when you coming out with another one of them? I got to go see that him. As soon as I leave the gate tonight, I'm putting that up on Netflix or something.
Yeah.
What surprised you about your fans?
Nothing really surprising me that much. I mean, the diversity of them is kind of...
Have you had people who say, I've been with you since AOL days?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I've been with you since dial-up.
Yep, absolutely. And then I have like four generations in one family reading my books and coming to a book signing together. It's been very interesting. I appeal to a lot of different people, and that's a blessing.
Man, I didn't know men were going to call. I'm surprised.
Oh, yeah, men love me.
And they read you.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
I see. Again, she's Zane, and a lot of her roots have run deep right here in Atlanta, probably more time been spent here than in D.C. Almost.
Yeah. Well, getting there, because I've been back down here for 4 years now.
Does Atlanta give you interesting subject matters, or locale does not really matter? You said you created some characters just based on their being Atlanta, the black mecca, professional people, and, you know.
Atlanta's interesting. It can be very entertaining. I'm a people watcher, so.
Me too.
Yeah, I enjoy watching people behave and just talk.
Then you go back and kind of write about it.
It's like a combination. I may take something from this, what I saw one person do, put it with another thing I saw another person do or say, you know, that kind of stuff.
And bring it all to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You still enjoy it.
I love it. Yeah, it's great. It's like Christmas time every day, really. You get to do it. I get to do what I love. And it's just, I just make stuff up. I get paid to make stuff up. I mean, think about it.
Have anybody ever come to you just the character for them? I think you mentioned earlier. It's just so real that they talk about them like, where is, you know, where's Rebecca? Where's the children doing it? Did their children graduate from college yet? And have she?
Yeah, they really get into the characters.
And I'm spooky. I was like, damn, lady, look, that was just made up. That was.
It's happened a few times.
The character's made up. We don't know the children. I'm graduated college. Did they? You know, oh, man, I can imagine that is exciting.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. And you just play along with them, or you tell them, look here now, the character is not real, but we're going to just play along with what you thought the script and how you thought it ended.
Right.
That's funny. Zane, give everybody once again, first of all, thank you for coming sharing with us.
Thank
we always
you.
Appreciate when you come share with us. And give everybody how they can run you down on social media, how they can catch you?
On Instagram, I'm Planet Zane. On Facebook, they can just look up Zane. I don't even go on Twitter. I don't even know my Twitter thing. And if they want to email me any questions, they can email zanesrighthandchick@gmail.com.
Now, Zane's Right Hand Chick, Nikita, is sitting here. Nikita, how are you? We're going to make it. Wait till she come back. I'm going to make you say something. Everybody coming to us. So grab Zane's microphone. There you go. Nikita, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You're a young lady.
Pretty young, yeah.
And you're hanging out with the prolific Zane.
Yes, it's an honor. I've learned a lot.
But push that microphone up. Talk about how long you've been assisting her.
Since 2011.
Girl, you don't even look like you're about 17.
I'll take it. Really? I'll take it.
I never asked a woman age, but I'm curious because you look like you.
I will be 35 in July.
I do not believe you. You do not look it. Talk about having a mentor like this, because obviously, you know, you get to working for somebody is one thing, right? But you appreciate the craft. I could tell just watching you observe you doing the interview.
Yes, I do. One thing I've came to learn, it's good to see a black woman nurture, you know, to come up. I feel like she's not my boss anymore. It's more of a, she's a family member. It's like, aunt, see what you're doing, you know, what's going on. So I watch her do business, how she handles it. She never loses her cool.
Mm-hmm.
She's always respectable to everyone, whether, you know, you have a title or not a title. It's not like, right, you know, people's beneath you. So it's just
and
wonderful.
When you tell your mom and them, I'm working with the king of sex, the neurotica, sex talk.
I told my father. He laughed. He was like, oh.
Did you give him a copy of the book?
Yes. He likes Zane. He met her. He loves her.
Oh, that is hilarious. Nikki, thank you so much. Because any of us who've done anything, we're only as good as our help, the people who help us. And so, Zane, thank you so much for mentoring a generation of us.
Thank you.
Now I got to go read some of this sex talk so I can get hot and bothered and steamed up and everything.
For sure. You got to do that.
Yeah. All right, y'all, look here. I am headed to the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park for the gala. I know that you all are already there. And so I'll be there in about 15, 20 minutes to see all of these young men that we're going to recognize tonight. Over about 38 young men will get scholarships tonight from this organization of about 25 men who love black people to life. And that's the only thing we want to do is do what somebody did for us, keep the door open and keep the light on. Y'all have a beautiful day. Y'all hear about it all tomorrow. Look, go to Let Us Make Man Facebook page. We might live stream it, you know, so you can see it. You'll see whether I got on the mauve or whether I got on the black. Zane said mauve.
Mauve, for sure.
I'm finna bust up in there in the mauve. But Zane said, look here, thank you, ladies, for keeping it tight and right. And I will see y'all tomorrow, Lord willing, in the Creek Don't Rise. Have a great rest of your day. Peace.
God bless America and no place else.
Celebrating the accomplishments and strides made by women around the world for Women's History Month.
You run companies that are transforming industries. You lead organizations that are changing people's lives, and by shattering just about every glass ceiling imaginable.
On WAOK, Atlanta, WVEE HD3.
You all have shown us that a woman's place is truly wherever she wants it to be.
News and Talk 1380, WAOK. Breaking news, sports, weather, traffic. We're live from the WAOK newsroom on News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Flights are being disrupted due to what's being called.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.